And what the Lord is telling us, the flesh profits nothing. So what you just did, what I just saw you do, you get out of the flesh. Set that flesh aside like Pastor Russ just urged us to do. Get out of that flesh. Shake that stuff of the flesh in this world off and get into the Spirit. Because each and every one of you that knows Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have God's Holy Spirit in you. That's how we can worship the true living God. And it's from your heart. It's from your heart. Start with your heart. And worship, I learned from a man of God years ago, is like kissing toward God, throwing him kisses, throwing him, expressing your love for him in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is different stuff, man. Not that God has changed. God is not doing something that he's never done before. It's friends that we are finally getting to a place to where we're doing what God wants us to do. Okay? God has not changed. Well, I'm going to stay with the times. The latest fad is this style of worship. That's not God. Okay? His style of worship, that doesn't even exist, okay? It is worship of God. We, however, in our faith and in our maturity, we eventually come to the place to where we don't care anymore what other people think. And that's really what it's about. Amen. That our love for God overcomes our inability or our fear of worshiping him. Do you understand? And I don't want you to beat yourself up over it. That's not what God wants. That's not what it's about. That's not my purpose. Okay? God knows your heart. This is between you and God. This is an act of worship as much as tithing and offering is. Do you understand? God, that is an act of worship. Do you know that there are hundreds of ways of worshiping God? Right? The Bible says to worship God with the beauty of, does anybody know? Holy lives. Worship God with the beauty of holy lives. We can worship God by playing guitar. We can worship God by clapping our hands. We can worship God by speaking the truth to someone at the gas station. So many ways. But when we're here in church, when we're driving in our cars, and we are singing, we're offering the sacrifice of praise and worship to God. We are offering him what is due him, what belongs to him. And as the Lord was showing us today, we should not allow our certain rows that we sit in every week. We're just people of habit. That's God knows who we are. We're not fooling him, right? God knows who we are. We should not let anything hinder us from worshiping God. And I got to tell you, sometimes I come in and it's like my body will affect the way that I want to worship. You feel me? Yeah? Sometimes on a Sunday morning, you'd rather stay in bed. Okay, you want that extra sleep, you know you got to go to work the next day, but God is beckoning you. The Holy Spirit is beckoning you, and I promise you that he blesses you when you're here. God blesses you when you use your gift to glorify him and to edify, to lift up the body of Christ. Church was never meant to be. Do you follow me? Okay. Now, not that it is wrong. Each church has its own personality. That's cool. All right. But we should not allow those things to hinder us from worshiping God. None of that should ever hinder us from worshiping God. When we get to heaven, friends, it ain't going to be that way. Heaven is rumbling with the sound of hundreds of thousands, millions of angels and people that have gone on to be with the Lord that are surrounding his throne in unhindered praise. Why should the house of God not be rocking on Sunday morning? If the house of God is rocking, don't bother knocking. Just come on in. Yeah? For real. For real. I want as much as within my ability here at Alabama for us to be free, to have that worship. Now listen, you can, it can be a hindrance to other people, all right, the way that you worship. It's not a self-seeking thing. It's not to see, to show everybody what I can do. That's not what it's about, all right? It's not about you. It's about God, and it's about us as a family, as the body of Christ, together lifting up one voice to one God. Collectively, it's like we're a big old choir and we all singing. We ain't got the greatest voice, but we all singing anyway because he deserves it. Because he deserves it. And when we come in those doors on Sunday morning, we ought to have something up there that says, are you ready to worship? Maybe we ought to do that. Are you ready to worship? Have you come with your gift? Ready to worship the King of all kings. Wow. God is moving in us. He's moving in you. He's moving in me. Sometimes we get set in our ways this morning. My yard is pretty wet right now. And as I was pulling my son's car, I got my son's car right now, trying to do some work on it. As I'm pulling out, we parked it in a different place because it's leaking gas, okay? I didn't want it on my blacktop. So we parked it in this section of my driveway where it's not as firm. And so I'm pulling out of the driveway, and there's about 6 inches of a rut there. And it was struggling a little bit to get out of there, right? The wheels are spinning because that rut had already been established. And in our spiritual lives, the same thing happens. We get stuck in a rut. We're used to doing the same thing. We're used to singing the same songs the same way with the same reaction, with the same response. We sit in the same spot. We park in roughly the same spot. We're creatures of habit. That's just the way God knows who we are, you know. But I'm telling you what, don't allow yourself to get stuck in a rut. Don't allow yourself to get stuck in something where you can't get out of it. Because that ground's not going to be soupy forever. You follow me? It's your job. And let's turn here. 2 Timothy 1:6. Maybe it's 1 Timothy. Nope. 2 Timothy 1:6. 6 and 7. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. Now this is Paul talking to his young protege. Can I just mention something here? We got our teenagers back on our PowerPoint. As you noticed, Mr. Bill Cravata, our worship leader, is not here today. And sometimes, if I'm able to do that, I get the scriptures to him, in which he's able to get them looking all pretty and everything. And sometimes I'm not, like today. And so I was wondering if our youth were going to be able to pick up if I threw a scripture out there. Well, they did. How about that, huh? Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Every week it's somebody different back there, one of our guys. Colin, Jake, Keegan, Kobe. Amy helps out. Hi, Amy. All right. 2 Timothy 1:6 through 7. Okay, so this is again Paul talking to Timothy, a young man who's up and coming in his faith. He's maturing in the Lord, and God's calling is upon Timothy to be a preacher, a pastor, and Paul had laid his hands upon Timothy and anointed him to be such. All right? And so Paul is saying to Timothy these things. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through what? The laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, and self-discipline. Now listen to this. He's reminding Timothy, as we need to be reminded, to fan into flame. Now, when we go camping or we're having a barbecue of sorts or a bonfire, sometimes you got to fan that flame, don't you? I remember, and I've said this before, my Grandpa Harry. Anybody remember my Grandpa Harry Peck? All right, a dozen of you or so. Grandpa Harry Peck, short guy, and man, he was hairy. Everywhere but here. All right. Man, that guy could barbecue some chicken like you wouldn't believe. But he would spend so long just getting those briquettes just perfect, you know. And he'd take a paper plate or newspaper, and he'd just be fanning that flame. Just fanning the flame, getting it just to where it was burning good and hot, you know. Is it not the same way? This is the same example that Paul is using to Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God. Whatever you got that you're good at, you should be using that for the glory of God. You should be using that in the church for the glory of God and the benefit of everybody else. Do you understand that? God gave that to you for that very reason. And you say, well, wait, I don't have anything to really offer. You got dozens of things that you're good at that you could be doing in the house of God for the Lord God. And in that way, when everybody is serving, there is not five people that are overwhelmed trying to do all the work. Okay? But God is saying, I want you to be mature. And he's always calling us up out from the place that we were. And you'll notice that over time when you used to be, thank God I don't act like I used to act. I know you guys aren't like that, but me, I'm really thankful. Sometimes I think back on the dumb things I've done, and I'm, oh God. David said to the Lord, oh, forgive the sins of my youth. Forgive the sins of my youth. Done some pretty stupid things. Too bad youth is wasted on the young, huh? You know, what happens is the more we get God in us, all that stuff just naturally falls away. And if at some point we begin to stagnate, we get stuck in a rut, okay? Stagnate means, in a sense, if you could use water, a pond that has no water coming in, no water going out, is going to stagnate. Maybe you've seen an area of your lawn or in a puddle of some sort that is turning green. Why? It's got no water coming in, no water going out. If there's water, if it's got a fresh supply of water coming in, then that water is going to be healthy. That water is going to be fresh. In the same way, our spiritual lives, if we don't have enough coming in, then we're going to remain the same. And those things that we used to do are going to remain. Okay? But if we got that fresh supply of God coming in and we're fanning into flame the gift of God that is in you from the laying out of my hands, Paul says. God wants to work in you. God wants to work in your church. God wants to work in your life. God wants to work through you into others' lives. That's what it's all about. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God working in us and through us. Go into all the world. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. Are you with me? this week as I was preparing, praying, seeking God as to what he wanted me to say. And I'm thinking that we need to keep going in the vein that we've been going with, you know, God displaying himself through difficult situations in our lives. And so I'm thinking of where, you know, we want to go with that. And God would just not give me anything solid to go on. And even to this morning, I'm like, okay, here we go, Lord. And he never disappoints. Never. It's not that I'm not putting the work in, the effort in to get something, because I can have something down very easily, very quickly, but it may not be what God wants. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit will lead us. And you know what? Oftentimes, it don't look like what you think it might.
That's right.
Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them. Nice job, guys. You're doing great. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You notice how he prefaces this. He prepares us for what is to come next. He gave us the power first and the reason why he's going to do the next thing. Okay? So he's giving us the reason why he's going to ask us for the next thing, and that is this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, I have all of the authority from my Father. And I got it here with me. And now, because of that, therefore, because, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When I think of little Russ going and making disciples of all other nations, that scares the willies out of me. I got to go to Africa, I got to go to Guatemala, or what? It's not necessarily that, okay? But it might be that. It might be that. And so, we have to decide, am I willing to do what God is asking me to do? Most of us will never leave the United States for the cause of Christ. Most of us. 90% of us will never leave the United States for that reason. Okay? Some of us might. God might be calling you. And if he is, he'll let you know. But it says, go into all nations. Make disciples. Now listen. So this is the thing. Make disciples of everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now listen, not only that, that's where it starts. That's where it starts, okay? And then comes the continuation of this, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he knows that that's going to be a long process, a difficult thing. And so he says, I am going to be with you to the very very end of the age, the end of everything. God is moving, friends. And then there's a scripture that says, see, I am doing a new thing, and do you not perceive it? Do you not get it? Do you not catch that? Do you not see it? All right. And it's not that God is changing. God never changes. The Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every day. He doesn't change like with the changing of the times. That ain't God. Our God never changes. He's been the same since the very beginning. So we don't have new ways that we got to try to figure him out. He's not changed his ways and said, well, now after 2000, I want you to do this. He's given us his word. That's what he expects. And his word never changes. But it is us recognizing our responsibility to fan into flame our own stuff. You see, we can't depend on somebody else. You can't depend on Pastor Russ to fan into flame your gift. That's your job. Amen. I can't do that. Amen. That is you and that is God. God gave it to you. I can pray for you. I can help to mature you, bring you, give you things that will help to mature you, to teach you. But it's you and God. And how do you fan that gift into a flame? You use it. You use it. You get busy. Where do I start? It don't matter where you start. Honestly, it doesn't matter where you start. Find a job and do it. Find a job that needs doing and do it. In a garden, where do I start pulling the weeds? Yeah, there. Good. It don't matter. Each row got to be done. You start pulling weeds where the weeds need pulling. All right? You find a row, you start hoeing. Okay? God wants to work in your life. God wants to bring you to a place of maturity. And it's not like you get there and then you stop. It just doesn't happen that way. We're always growing. We're always becoming more like Christ. We're always thinking more like Christ. And the more we do, the more He uses us. Do you understand? Don't get stuck in the rut of your life, because you'll stay there for years and years and years and years. And before you know it, your life, you're on the back 40 of your life. You understand what I'm saying? You follow me? And you're starting to go downhill, and everything is still the same in your life, and you're going nowhere. Don't allow that to happen, and only you can change it. Only you. Fan into flame the gift of God. Step outside of your row, people. Step outside of your seat and get into the aisleway. Shake off the hinders. Shake off the bondage that is holding you back. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, let me just set the context of this. The prior chapters have been listing person by person who have done great things for the cause of the kingdom of God. All right? And Moses, Noah, Abraham. All right? Rahab. And it says, all of these things by faith, these people pleased God because of what they had done with their works. Mind you, okay? Now listen. Therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who are the witnesses? Well, these people that were just listed here, and then many, many others, okay? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us, now listen, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. Well, what could be some things that hinder us? Fear. Well, I've never done it that way before. That's not who I am. How many of you said that before? That's not me. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. Let us throw off everything that hinders us from being who God destined us to be. Amen. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. Time. Did you know that God's schedule is not the same as our schedule? You ever think about that? Rarely is God's schedule our schedule. Okay? Are you putting God first in your life? Are you allowing time for God? Are you putting Him first? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us do what? Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Paul puts it this way. It's a race. It's a race that we're running. The race of what? Our faith. Our faith is like a race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Would you stand with me today? You know, I have a worry that as a pastor, that when I myself follow God in the way that He is leading, and I urge you to follow God in the way that He is leading, and that we, when we respond, that others will look at us and like, oh, you're one of those churches, right? You're one of those people. But I'll tell you what, I trade all of the glory of men. I would trade it all just to be a simple follower of Jesus. I don't care anymore what people think. I want to be found taking care of what the Master has put in front of me. And let me tell you something. My dad always told me when I was seeking direction, follow where the Spirit is leading and follow where the Spirit is moving. If you do that, all the other stuff will come. And I have tried to do that all of my life. Matthew 6:44 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Amen. Put first God. Put first God. All the other stuff will take its place. God will cause those things to fall in line in your lives. Seek Him first. Respond when He is calling. When you come through those doors on Sunday morning, train yourself. Are you ready to worship? Bring your gift of worship and offer it to the Almighty. Let's close in prayer today. Sue, would you come to the piano? I'm not going to ask you to come forward today. What I want and what I'm going to do is just ask you to contemplate, and that's kind of what we've been doing here as God has been moving and teaching us this morning. I want you to contemplate, excuse me, what God is doing, and maybe do some inventory of your own life, okay? Maybe do some inventory as to where you are and maybe where God is leading you to be. Okay? Maybe, and here's something too to think about, the comfort zone. We can all be really comfortable when we're not out on a limb. We get really comfortable when we're in familiar surroundings, in familiar people, familiar actions, familiar responses, and all those things. And we can get so comfortable that we can get lazy and fat spiritually. Spiritually, we can get lazy and fat. And that is contrary to the way God wants his people to be. God wants his people to be moving, movers and shakers. God wants us to be responding to him. God wants us to learn, to know, and recognize his voice so that when he says, Russ, I want you to do this, all he's got to do, he doesn't even have to say, he don't have to point, he don't have to herald, you know, with a loudspeaker, all he's got to do is give a look. And I recognize that look. Did you have a look that you got from your parents from time to time? And they didn't need to say a word. You knew what they were saying before they even said it. It was a look that they gave, or maybe a nod. And you recognized it, didn't you? That's the way God can work in us, if we recognize God. If we recognize him, what he's doing, we recognize his voice, all he's got to do is give a little nod. He looks one way, and there we go. He's leading another, there we go. And with less and less and less prompting, God wants to be able to move in your heart and move you. You see, at first, it takes a lot of prompting and a lot of reward to get us to do what God wants us to do. But he wants to be able to say, Chris. And Chris looks. Yeah? Eric. And he'll look. And we move. You understand? You understand? That's where God wants us. Are you there? Are you on your way there? Are you thinking about that? Do you recognize God's movement, God's beckoning, God's calling, God's guidance in your life? The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is his will for our lives. It's his guide. It's his lamp. It's his flashlight for the dark parts in our lives. It illuminates the way that we are to go. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We humble ourselves before you. We recognize that you are moving, God. Help us, Lord, to respond. Help us, oh God. We've become comfortable. We're stuck in a rut. Some things we don't know how to do. Some things we're uncomfortable doing. Help us. Help us, Lord. May we be found doing your will, your complete and perfect will for our lives. And may we share the love of Christ with others. Bring us back together again next week. May impress on our hearts, Lord, who we can bring next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.